I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we like spooky things.
Spooky things.
And we really, really like self-care.
For yourself.
What did you do this week for self-care?
I like that song.
Thank you. I wrote it.
Thank you. I wrote it myself.
And produced it.
And produced it.
Believe it or not, performed it also.
Oh, wow. Just a jack of all trades.
I am Taylor Swift. Just much more poor. It's fine.
It's totally fine.
I don't talk about it.
As you shouldn't. I got to visit with my aunt this week, and it was really fun. Well, I guess it was like last weekend.
You know what? Who is counting? No. Who among us is counting?
What is time even?
Honestly, do you remember like when my wedding was like 3 weeks away, I was like, well, we had our wedding. So it's like,
yeah, it was fine.
If it's still in your brain.
So, yeah, it was really fun. She like came into town and it was like Ronan's birthday. So we got to do some fun stuff. We went to the transportation museum and Ronan basically like lost his mind about it. It was awesome.
Oh, that's his shit.
Like yeah. Anything with wheels, really.
Trash truck.
So yeah, it was like a really good visit and it was fun.
It sounds like fun. Sounds like a good time.
What did you do?
I've just been preparing to go skiing.
For the first time ever in your life.
Yeah, and then people are like, you're gonna break your wrists, and I'm like,
don't let haters hate, you know?
I'm so scared of breaking my wrist.
I think you'll be okay.
How can I type with a broken wrist?
With a broken wrist? I think it'll be okay.
I don't know.
I think if
you had a demandingly typey job.
Well, then you can just be like, sorry, can't work.
Bye. Could you imagine? My wrists are broken.
You could just.
I just
pretend that they're broken.
I don't know. I get scared about like breaking bones. Well, I've had really bad luck lately.
See, that's the thing about learning to ski when you're an adult is that. These are the things that you worry about, because if you were a kid, you wouldn't even think about that. But like as an adult, learning to do these things.
Do you want to call Karen and Jack?
But like learning to do this kind of shit as an adult, it's like scarier because you're like, but what if I crash, you know?
Do you remember 2 years ago, I like fogged up my knee and I like could not walk and it took like forever for my knee to get back to normal?
What did you do?
I wasn't stretching properly before I was running because it was right before the wedding. So I was like, well, I have to run as much as I can. And I wasn't properly stretching. Like I'm 100 years old and okay. I like fucked up my knee and I like called Keith crying and he's like, what do you want me to do about it? And I was like, good question. I don't know.
So maybe we stretch tomorrow.
So I got a better stretch routine, but like, my God, it took forever.
Let's properly stretch before we hit the slopes.
My 20s, it didn't, you know that magical trick in your 20s where you wake up and like, you're fine? It didn't do that, like, ever.
Well, now that we're in our 30s, you fucking sleep funny and your neck hurts for a week.
Even if I sleep great, my neck's like...
And then you're just
I think
like...
I'm gonna hurt.
Or you just like randomly like tweak something. You're like, I don't even know what I
did. And it's life ending.
Like, I truly can't remember doing anything specific, but this one part of my body hurts really bad for no apparent reason.
I have a bruise on my upper thigh that's, like, that big. Yeah. Want to know what I did?
Who knows?
Who's to say? I don't know.
No one knows.
And apparently, that's just between my thigh and Jesus.
Exactly.
And they have a secret that I don't know.
So the thing about skiing is, though, like, you can control the speed. And that's the good thing is that, you know, you can just pizza it out.
I was about to say, if I French fry instead of pizza, I heard I'll have a bad time. Yeah. I'm going to quote that tomorrow. I'm letting you know now.
You just got to...
Oh, Danae's coming with me, by the way. You just
got to pizza the fuck out of it. Like, let that pizza slice be so big.
Am I going to meet Stan Darsh?
Who?
I thought we were quoting South Park together.
Oh. I'm just telling you how skiing works.
Okay. I just want to save Heather.
What?
I'm just quoting South Park over and over again. Can we watch that tomorrow?
Which episode is it?
It's the Aspen one. We're like, if you French fry when you're gonna supposed to pizza, you're gonna have a bad time.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Well,
I mean, that's not I'm wrong. Making you watch this. That's episode. Not wrong advice.
It's not. And it's not.
Like Aspen, bro. We're not rich.
No, I know the episode's called Aspen with two S's.
Aspen.
Yeah, South Park.
Yeah. Well.
My dog's name.
Let's wear cowboy hats and ski with jeans.
We're Jersey. We ski in our jeans. I can't stop quoting shit. All right, what are you going to tell me about this week?
So, because the state of America is so fucking bleak, and you know, I've been depressed because I think we all are, and shit's hitting the fan. It's feeling a little bit like in Nazi Germany. I was like, you know what? Let's do a hopeful story this week.
Okay.
So I'm gonna tell you about.
I feel like mine was kind of hopeful last week. It was. Little bit. Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you a story about some sister heroes. Some sister heroes from the time of Nazi Germany.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
I know, I love a sister hero. And you know what, there's a lot of sister heroes to choose from this particular era of time. So I think I'm going to do like another little mini series of just ladies getting shit right.
Yeah.
You know? Just to give us a little bit of hope, a little bit of inspiration.
Randomly made me go to Frozen with her. Like, she had, like, her child. It went to Frozen. My sister was like, it's just about two sisters who come together. And she's like, so I thought we needed to see it together. And I was like, oh
my God. So you're Anna and she's Elsa because she's older?
Well, yeah, and hair color anyway, too, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
And she's really frosty, so. I'm just kidding. She's the nicer one of both.
She's actually really nice.
Like, way nicer than me.
I think you're both nice.
She's literally like always happy. She's like, she'll be like mad and she'll be like, I'm just a little frustrated right now. And that's like, I'm like, whoa, you just outbursted in anger. That's like her having like a freak out. It's just like, I'm just feeling a little frustrated, I guess. Everything will be fine. I'm like, okay.
She's like, are you okay? Should we like commit you?
That's the happiest outburst I've ever heard. All right, let's hear these inspiring stories.
Okay.
Sisters.
So this is a story of two opera-loving British sisters who undertook some dangerous missions to help Jewish families escape Nazi Germany during World War II.
Aww.
So Ida and Mary Louise Cook were born in Sunderland, England.
So cute.
And that's love like the names. Northeast England. Mary Louise was born June 19th of 1901. Ida was born August 24th, 1904. And the Cook sisters were, I hate using this word, but they were considered spinsters. They were unmarried.
At the age of 13.
Well, they were middle-aged at the point of World War II. So they're like in their 30s. So like, how dare they be
I just remember somebody's like,
unmarried.
If you were unmarried and you were 18, you were a spinster. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
Like, how dare you? But they, because they were unmarried, they lived together, and they both worked as typists.
Love to see it.
Although Ida was an author, and she wrote, some sources varied. Some say that she wrote 112 books. Others say she wrote 130 romance novels under the pen name of Mary Butchell.
I was waiting for, like, Danielle Steele.
And the two sisters had a very, very big passion for opera. Like, that was their jam. According to BBC News, their nephew, John Cook, described them as opera groupies. So
I love it so much because I would say that now. Like someone said opera groupie, I wouldn't be like, what does it mean? I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
Get
so it. They would like, you know, line up at the doors and like wait for the opera singers to come out and be like, ooh, oh my God, can we have your autograph?
You're and amazing.
You're our favorite. You're so good. They would like fangirl over. Is that where
groupie came from, like the term?
I don't know.
I don't know. I love it. I don't know
where that came from. But basically they were like all about it. Mega fans. And it all kind of like their story sort of became their story in 1934 when they visited the Salzburg Festival.
So they were like early 30s.
Mm-hmm. Where they befriended the conductor Clemens Krauss. And it was his wife who suggested that
That's
they...
That's a really cool name.
I know, right? Clemens Krauss.
Clemens Krauss.
So his wife suggested they look after a friend who is visiting London. So she was basically like, I have a friend who's visiting London. Can she stay with you guys? And they were like, sure. Oh my God. Whatever. And so this friend of a friend stayed with the sisters and she basically like opened their eyes to what was going down in Germany and Austria. And she's like, hey, the Jewish people are like going through hell right now.
Well, and they like, probably, the news cycle isn't like it is now, you know, where you immediately exactly. get news. So,
yeah,
you
they're
know.
Like, so this lady's like, shit's fucked. And so she basically like enlightens them and they're like, what, huh? And speaking in a BBC radio interview in 1967, Ida Cook said, I can't emphasize sufficiently how we stumbled into this thing. So this lady staying with them, telling them about the atrocities going on, everything that was happening, sort of was like the catalyst to how the sisters became like known for what they're known for.
And so it wasn't like hopes and prayers. Okay, let's go do stuff. It's like, let's
this.
Help. Let's make a difference.
Exactly.
Love that.
So yeah, the friend was like, here's the shit that's happening. She's like, basically the Jewish people of Germany and Austria are without any rights. They're being treated as if they're not humans. Then there's restrictions on all aspects of their lives. And Ida said, although the Jews at this stage were able to leave the country, they were unable to take money or possessions with them. So it's kind of like,
I didn't know that was the thing.
The fuck
either.
Is the point? Like, let yeah. me leave the country, but now, like, I have no money. I have none of my possessions. Like, what am I going to do? You know?
Like, what's the point?
What's the point?
Like,
and then, on top of that, those wanting to come to Great Britain had to prove that they had a job to go to or sufficient funds to live on. So, like, it's this catch-22 where it's like, okay, well,
we can't bring your stuff,
we can't bring our stuff,
independently wealthy,
but we also have to like have a job when we get there. But like,
that's how are hella we controlling?
Yeah, how are we supposed to do this?
Yeah.
So basically, the sisters helped Jewish families get around this catch-22 by smuggling valuable goods across the border to the families.
I was wondering if that's what they were going to do.
Mm-hmm. So the sisters would arrive in either Austria or Germany, depending on which family they're helping.
Yeah.
They would just come as they were. They would come plainly. They wouldn't have coats. And then they would come back, traveling home, fully decked out in jewelry, furs. They would have, like, you know, beads and earrings, and like they were fully decked out, like to the nines.
Too. Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, this is ours. Like crossing the border, because you know, you have to kind of be like, here, what are your possessions, blah blah blah, whatever.
Did they,
because they were very much like
in the jackets too?
I'm not sure about that, but probably, because they had to be like pretty, like, I mean, they had to get all these people's valuables yeah. back to them.
They're like, it's cold, that's why I need 5 jackets on me.
Right. And they would also persuade people to vouch for refugees. So they would like be like, okay, so like this person's going to come stay in London. They can work for you. Like,
please just basically, say they're going to work for you.
Yeah. Basically like trying to satisfy the British requirements for immigration. And yeah, like this whole meeting, or like this person staying with them, was like this whole huge like moment where they're like, okay, we can help people. And that's what they did. And they helped people not only escape Nazi Germany, like
fully. I love that it wasn't hopes and prayers. It was like
actions. It was like actions. Let's fucking do something.
Yeah.
And so remember, okay, so I said Ida was a romance novel author.
Yeah.
So she actually made like a lot of money writing these novels. And this was the money that would fund their trips to Austria and Germany. So
that's amazing.
What they would do is they would go to the opera. And that was kind of like their guise of like, oh yeah, we're going to all these different shows.
Okay, yeah. So they had to have a cover. Like, why are you coming here? Yeah. Why are you leaving all extravagant? Like, well, we went to the opera. Going
to the opera. Yeah. And they had their conductor friend, Clemens Klaus, who was also the director of the Munich Opera House. So he was like, all right, we're in cahoots. He's like, we know what's up.
Yeah, we're going
to
help you.
So he would arrange for them to come and see different opera performances in different areas, different cities, different dates.
Love
it. He would kind of like, he would also kind of like hook it up and like let them choose which shows they wanted to see too.
Yeah, of course.
So not only are they like doing this amazing humanitarian like effort, but they're also like getting to see all these fucking amazing operas.
Everyone wins.
It's like a win-win situation.
Yeah.
So he's hooking them up. He's in on it. And it's also like a cover. So they would go to different cities. They would arrange to gather all the jewelry, the coats, the belongings, etc. They'd go to the opera all decked out in the clothes. Because, like, why not?
Yeah. They're there. You might as well look amazing.
Yeah.
And might as well wear 5 rings on every finger.
Exactly. And then they'd travel back home as if they owned all the stuff and then give it back to the Jewish family so that they could now start their life as refugees in London. And obviously they had to be careful. So they would arrive.
Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like it was a time where just anyone.
Like, no. Like
you're taking a huge risk.
And like these are the Nazis. People. Like you don't fuck around. Like, no. If you get caught, like you're going to a concentration camp.
Well, or murder, like executed on the spot.
So exactly.
It's all bad if you
So they had to arrive and depart in completely separate border crossings so that it wouldn't be suspicious when they come in at a border crossing, you know, full, like plainly clothed. And then when they leave, they're fully decked out. You know, well, like they don't want it to be.
Two women together would look kind of like suspicious.
And they don't want it to be like obvious. Like, yeah, we came here completely plain and now we're leaving with a whole bunch of shit. Like they don't want it to seem like, yeah, we're smuggling shit back to people.
Yeah, we're not.
What? Not. Stop. Who else? Yeah. And so, and with like a whole bunch of luggage and stuff.
Yeah.
So the earrings had to be clip-on ones because neither of them had pierced ears. And like, this is how specific the officials were. They would look for that. Like, so if you didn't have pierced ears and you're trying to like smuggle in earrings that are for pierced ears, they'd be like, why the fuck you have this? So it had to be like only clip-on earrings. Like that's how like,
I mean, thorough, it's thorough, they're trying but to be. Still, it's like, what the fuck?
Come on. And, but they also had like a cover story. And Ida said, our story was very simple. We were two nervous British spinsters who didn't trust our families at home. And so when we went abroad, we took all of our jewelry with us. And
I love it.
And there's no answer for that. You could say, you know, like how ridiculous, but you can't say.
Do you trust your family?
You well, can't you're say lucky. It's not true.
Yeah.
You could be like, well, that's stupid. But like, what are they going to do? Be like, well, let me call your family and ask if you're, you know, like.
Yeah, no.
They have to kind of take your word for it. And so, oops, that was my phone.
loud.
And so, like I said, you know, they were breaking a very clearly defined Nazi law by smuggling large quantities of valuables.
Yeah.
Like knowingly and very much deliberately. But they knew
that people needed these things to start their lives.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and if they were caught too, like the British government wouldn't be able to do shit for them.
Yeah.
Like,
cause they're over.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
Like you're in Nazi territory. Like they're going to do what they do to you.
Like, sorry.
Sorry. Hmm. And there had been, you know, British people who had been doing the same thing.
Yeah.
that had been caught and had been sent to concentration camps. So, like, the threat was very much real.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, if you're caught, like, you're fucked.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
You were absolutely fucked.
Yeah.
Oof. So the Cook sisters, luckily, never got caught.
That's great.
And they not only helped families get their valuables to them, but they also housed refugees in England. They rented a special flat in London that was specially for refugees.
That's amazing. So, like,
they put their own money towards this. They're like, let's rent a space so that when we bring people in, they have their own private place to go.
I did wonder, you know, like, this is great and amazing, but some people don't have anywhere to go. They're just trying to flee the country. So I love that they also, like, had a place for them to go too.
Which is, like,
incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Ida traveled all over England to make speeches. She advocated and lectured in churches to raise money for Jews who needed help and support. And overall, the Cook sisters helped over 24 refugees escaping from the Holocaust.
Oh, that's amazing.
Like, that's...
That's lot of people for just two women.
For two women just kind of like doing their thing.
Yeah.
Get an idea. And they're like, yeah, we got to do something.
Yeah, we got to help people.
Yeah.
We got to help people.
Yes. And in 1965, the sisters received the Righteous Among the Nations honor from the State of Israel for their, quote, warmth of heart, devotion,
and bravery,
rare perseverance, and willingness to sacrifice their personal safety, time, and energy.
Oh, I love that.
And in 2017, the Sunderland Council, where they grew up, Sunderland, placed a permanent reminder of the sisters' heroism at the entrance of Croft Avenue,
which was where their childhood home was. So it's super meaningful, too. It's not just like, these women did this. Also, it's in their hometown. That's amazing.
So Tony Wortman, who is the chairman of the Newcastle Reform Synagogue, who is at, like, the... So Tony Wortman, chairman of the Newcastle Reform Synagogue, said whilst putting the plaque up, he said, Ida and Louise Cook saved many Jews, many of whom are still living and now surrounded by their children and grandchildren.
Oh.
For them, life has gone on, but this would not have been so had it not been for their bravery. And I'm pleased to be invited to honor them on behalf of all these saved, of all those they saved. And the plaque says, it's just like a little blue circle plaque on like a brick wall.
Yeah.
It says Sunderland City Council, and it says Ida Cook. It says her date of birth and then the year that she died.
Yeah.
And her sister Louise Cook, same thing. Residents of 37 Croft Avenue, Sunderland, saved many Jews from Nazi persecution. In 1965, were honored as Righteous Among the Nations by the State of Israel. Under the pen name of Mary Burchell, Ida was a prolific author for Mills and Boone. So Ida died in 1986. Louise died.
Wow, so they like had like long lives.
Yeah.
And Louise they didn't died in 1991. Deal with men.
Perhaps that's why. and their nephew, John Cook, he said of remembering the quote, quite extraordinary old biddies.
Old biddies.
It was like, what a British thing to say. He said they were modest. They only mentioned their exploits if asked. So they weren't just like, hey, guess what we did?
I'd probably tell everyone.
Oh, right. He was like, they were first. Like,
there's a plaque in my honor.
This plaque has my fucking name on it. Go look at it.
Because I was brave.
They were first really exposed when Ida wrote her memoirs, which was mostly about operas. The story
mostly about opera.
Right.
Girl has a she has a theme. I love it.
The story of the rescues was in the context of opera visits. There was no desire to push them to the forefront. He added, Ida used to say something like, you are what you do, and that was about it. They did it because it was the right thing to do. Nothing more, nothing less.
Oh, that's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
I love that so,
so
much.
So Ida's book, her memoirs, it was originally published in 1950 under the title We Followed Our Stars. And then it was republished at a later date with a different title, Safe Passage. And then it was again republished in the most recent modern version, is called The Bravest Voices, a memoir of two sisters' heroism during the Nazi era. So if you want to read it, if you want to look it up, definitely do. Like, what an That's amazing incredible. Story.
Yeah.
But it's just a reminder that, like, you know, like
she
said,
we're all humans.
Like she said, you are what you do. And they did it because it was the right thing to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Like, I think that is so, so powerful,
mm-hmm.
especially with everything that's going on right now. Like, we got to do what's right.
Yeah.
It's not even about politics anymore. It's about what's fucking right.
It's about getting us back on track, guys. We're yeah. so off the track.
So off. So we will post the pictures of the ladies
yes.
on our Instagram at Mysterious Mavens Pod on Instagram.
If you want to say hi, if you want a friendship bracelet, got self-care tips, want a sticker, we're oh. full of fun times. You can email us and you can also Instagram us.
Yeah.
But at MysteriousMavensPod@gmail.com. We got a Facebook and a TikTok that I think I'm still logged into.
Yeah. And if you even want to, like, you know, share what you're doing to do the right thing or
yeah. share how you're getting through.
Yeah. Also. Like yeah. shit's wild right now, y'all.
Yeah.
Anything that can help, let us know.
Yeah. And please rate us too. Yeah. Guys, we got exciting things coming up that we so look forward to sharing things. And eventually one day.
Yes.
But yay.
Yay. Until yeah. next time.
Self-care yourself. Yeah. Take care of yourselves. But also. Like,
for real.
Like, actually self-care for yourself. Yeah, like
it's needed. It's necessary.
It's so needed.
We can't hit the streets and do the things if we're not self-caring ourselves first.
Nope.
Okay, all right. Until next time. Bye.
Bye. I love them so much.
Right?
Yeah.
Inspiring.
Very inspiring.